Hello, I'm Lee Hatcher with the Growth Coaching International podcast. I'm in conversation with Annette Gray on using a solutions-focused approach in coaching, work, and in fact, all our conversations. Annette is Director of Strategy and Development and a Senior Leader with Growth Coaching International. She's been a key member of the Growth Coaching team since 2004. The solutions-focused approach is her passion. So where's it come from?
So solution-focused, how we use it in the work that we do and the workshops that we run is has its roots in family therapy approach. And it was actually developed by Insoo Kimberg and Steve DeShazza in Milwaukee in Wisconsin. They actually stumbled across it working with therapy patients that were wanting to make progress and find an efficient way of making progress in terms of their issue or problem that they brought to the table. And so what happens in traditional therapy, as you know, it's a bit of a talking cure.
Yes.
It goes on. It can go on quite a while. And what they stumbled across is actually if you don't focus on the problem and you focus on what's wanted, faster progress was made. And particularly around, you know, you don't have to delve into childhood problems and where things came from to make progress.
Yes.
It was more about noticing when the problem existed less and what was that about, or the problem didn't exist at all. So they had examples of people who were alcoholics, but they weren't an alcoholic every single day, and there was days that they had less than others. So what was happening in those days? And that's what solution focus is about, is finding what works and doing more of it. And it's not about understanding the problem more. It's not problem phobic, so it's not about ignoring the problem.
No.
So it's just getting enough of what the problem is to redirect it. So it's obvious you don't want that. What is it you do want? Mm. And for what they found, Kimberg and DeShazza, it was around they wanted, you know, a happy family life. So it wasn't about drinking less. It was about the benefit of drinking less.
Yes, yeah. Which is a different emphasis.
That's
entirely.
Right. Yeah. And then what happened is it got momentum and progress where others were going, hang on, there's something in this. So then it went into the corporate world and Mark McGurgo and Paul Z. Jackson were two of the main sort of pioneers of taking it into the corporate world from the therapy world. And they devised a set of tools and principles that could be used in organisations rather than in a therapy approach. Yeah. And that's what we use today. And we have relationships with both those pioneers.
Wow.
In the different programs that we run in Solution Focus.
So how would someone using this approach actually apply it in practice?
I like Mark McGurgo's definition of what's being solution focus is, and that is change is happening all the time. Our role is to identify useful change and amplify it. And so I had an example today when I was doing this keynote, because I coached in front of the group. And the woman's topic was around getting her photos in order. And I think, like all of us, it's a problem since we've gone digital.
She got an answer?
She did.
Oh, really?
She did.
I'm listening on all ears.
She said, I've got all my photos on my computer from 2000, yet there's no order to it. And I said, so what is the order you're wanting? And she said, I want them because I have two children, I want them with school events, children's parties or children events, and family holidays. That's all I want for each year from 2000. So I asked her, and being solution focused, so are any of those years in order now? And she said, yes. She said, 2016 and 2017, I've got in that order. So being solution focused is focusing on what is already working.
Yes.
And a hint of what you're after, which is those years. So how were you able to do that? And how can you apply that to the other years? And then what is a small step you're going to take to start? Yeah. And that's the hardest part for people, is taking the first small step.
I'm sure it turned a light on for her.
It did.
I could do this.
It did.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's how it applies in practice. How else does the theory say it can apply in practice?
Well, I think there's two aspects of it. There's a set of tools that we teach people to use, a set of six tools. But the other aspect is around how do you embody it and how do you be solution focused in all aspects of your life, at work and at home.
Yes.
That's the hard part. Yeah, learning the tools and rattling off the questions related to the tools is quite easy to pick up. But to embody it all the time, that's hard because we love problem talk and we love gossiping and we love talking about what's wrong.
It's an interesting point. And revealing. You're right, actually.
Yeah. Well, we live in a deficit world. All our news, as you would know from
yes.
being a reporter and journalist, that all our news is about what's wrong in the world, not what's right in the world.
And I say to people who say, why can't the news be good news? I say, because you like bad news. Do you think Rupert Murdoch would have continued to report bad news if people loved good? Yeah, we all do love it, sadly, I suppose.
And the impact of that in organisations is, if we're always talking about problems, it actually takes us to a place of unresourcefulness.
Okay.
And it disconnects us. Whereas being solution-focused, and in other terms, progress-focused, it actually connects and actually focuses on people towards the future of let's get clear what we want. We realise we don't want that. What is it we do want?
I remember someone making a suggestion that this is kind of like a dance.
Exactly. Just yesterday, I listened to a YouTube clip of Haesun Moon, and she said, It's like a dance between the person you're coaching or the person with the problem and the coach or practitioner. You don't know what question you're going to ask until you hear what response they've given. So it's actually what's going on in between the two people. You're actually solution building between the two of you, which is harder to do on your own.
Yes.
But having someone ask you the questions of, so has there been a time where this has worked well for you? Or has there been a time that you've made more progress on this than you have now? How did you do that? So it's having a beginner's mind as the person who's the coach asking, being solution focused, is not having any set idea of what's going to come from the person or I'm going to fix this person. It's more about using what's here and using the strengths and resourcefulness of the person that you're talking to.
It's quite a skill knowing what question to ask, though. And that's the product of your training, really.
That's right.
Yeah.
We show questions that work for us, but it's also the person coming up with questions that work for them, that are authentic to them.
Can we talk about leaders and how this is going to apply to them, Annette, specifically?
I think specifically for leaders, if you change the conversation, you change everything else that surrounds it. Solution focus is a very respectful way of collaborating, interacting, and working with people because you're working with their strengths. What have they already got? What have they already tried? Rather than telling them what they need to be doing.
Yes.
So it can be from any conversation. It doesn't have to necessarily be a coaching conversation. It can be, have you got 5 minutes? I've got this problem. I'm stuck. I don't know where to go. And a few simple questions can actually, we call it the SF switch, the solution focus switch, to, wow, that sounds like that's tough where you're at.
Yes.
It sounds like you don't want that. So what is it you do want? And helping people articulate that, you just see their energy change from, oh, I'm stuck, to, oh, okay.
Yes.
You're listening to the Growth Coaching International podcast. I'm in conversation with our Director of Strategy and Development, Annette Gray. So here's an important question. With Annette's reference to 5 minutes, this approach sounds like it could be really good for our time-pressed leaders.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So what you're doing here is asking, not telling, which is basically the premise of what good coaching is.
Yes.
But you're also focused quickly on progress, helping people to make progress pretty fast. And that's why we define, so what is it you want? What would that look like if you had that? And what difference would that make to you?
Mm.
And have you been in this situation before? What worked with you for you at that point? Are you able to try that now? Yeah. And what might be a small step that you could take to start moving towards that?
Yeah.
So it can come down to as simple as three questions. What is it you want? Where are you now? What will you do next?
How receptive is the person being coached? Does that require a skill?
So the staff member or the person being coached, people sort of look at you strangely like, what's this question about? They're a bit confused because some people just love dwelling in the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I wanted to be told what the solution is.
Exactly. And that dependency on the leader to, well, you know, you get paid to be the leader. So you just tell me what I've got to do.
Bet.
And they've always been in this place of helplessness.
Yes.
It's strange for people to start with, but you see it physically a change in people.
Wow.
And maybe I show you that, of the difference of having problem talk and solution.
So you notice a physical change in people.
You do.
Can you tell me what that looks like?
Well, I think it would be a really good idea if I could model it on you.
On me?
Yes.
I'm the coachee.
You're the coachee.
Okay, I'm always up
or
for
the
brave
staff
things.
Member.
I'm always up for brave things. Hit me with it, Annette.
Okay. So tell me, Lee, one of your challenges at work at the moment.
It's probably a creeping growth in more and more work and more than I want.
So
sounds rather indulgent, doesn't it?
So why is this such a problem?
Because I'm at that point in life where I feel I need a bit of space and I can afford that. And I've worked hard over 40 plus years in broadcast journalism, and I think I'd like to cash in a bit of that. Very happy to keep working. I love doing these. But I also want a bit of space.
So what are the worst emotions you have around this?
Frustration. Sometimes despair that I just haven't got time to kind of breathe. And I'm also juggling happy, precious family stuff as well. And that's also what I want to carve out that space for. But when I get overwhelmed, my head kind of starts hurting and I think, I can't do all this and I really don't want to. Doesn't apply to these wonderful GCI podcasts, though, I'll tell you.
What are the biggest barriers then to making progress here?
Pleasing people, probably, and wanting to fulfill expectations and desires of others. Although I've said to lots of people, some of whom I've mentored, not coaching, everyone, when they ask you to do something, they only think their thing is the one thing that you're being asked to do. They can't know the totality of all the juggling balls that you've got up in the air. So I suppose I want to please people and I want to be agreeable and help them out.
Okay, so let's try another set of questions.
Okay.
So tell me what you'd like to achieve in relation to this challenge.
A continued sense of decisiveness. I was going to say a greater sense, but I am actually decisive and I can say no and often do. But I think to continue that process and continue to arrest a galloping out of control workload so I get some space.
So if this was working well, what would be happening?
I'd be doing a happy, measured 3 days a week work.
Great.
Podcast, video, some consulting. And I've only been doing this for a few months and it's really already reached a very happy load. But a couple of times I'm starting to think this is getting out of control. This is more than I want.
Okay. So when you have it, got it just right.
Yes.
Yep, the 3 days
yep.
that you're after. How were you able to do that?
Probably by saying no, continuing to say no, and continuing to organise my time well. I'm decisive, I'm efficient, I work fast, because I've had to in my past life, but I need to kind of keep on containing the amount of stuff and the juggling balls I've got in the air.
So you may have answered this question, but let's see how it lands. Mm-hmm. What would others notice you doing if you were managing this challenge?
Do you mean my wife?
Possibly.
I hope she's listening to this. No, she'd notice a more measured and calm and agreeable person, because those closest to you are the ones you always take it out on. Yes. So I think she'd notice a bit more humour, a bit less dourness at the load that I'm carrying. Am I giving away too much?
No, this is good. Because all those people get impacted.
I'm finding it helpful. I really genuinely am finding it helpful.
So what would your clients or potential clients notice if you were managing this challenge well?
To be honest, I don't think they'd notice. I think potential clients might often be disappointed, and I'm already doing that. So I'm able to do this, but I suppose I just need to keep a focus on, okay, you need to keep doing this. So I'm in the happy position of being able to sometimes say, I just don't have the capacity for that. So it's probably more the potential clients, because I'm very, very focused on deadlines, very focused on getting stuff done. I never leave it. But more potential people that I'm going to disappoint. I had one instance this week where someone rang me up and made me a very significant offer to take on some work. And I just said, I cannot do it this week. It was an urgent thing. Uh-huh. So to be able to be free and relaxed about doing that, that's what I think they'd notice.
So if you could take one single action to move this forward, what would it be?
I'd book a day next week where I'd fish, take my boat
awesome.
Out. Well, that hasn't happened for a few weeks as this has kind of been galloping. Part of my new life was to leave myself open to take my little boat out and go fishing, probably once a fortnight. And I haven't done that for more than probably 4 weeks now. So watch this space, Annette.
So which day
fishing,
might it be?
It might be Thursday. It might be dependent on what Georgina, your marvellous marketing person, has for me on Thursday. But right. I've got Thursday kind of in my sights. So watch that space.
Okay. So what you've experienced then is two sets of questions. One which was focusing on the problem and understanding the problem more.
So you're not afraid to confront the problem. This is not about avoidance.
It's not about avoidance, but we don't need to know the ins and outs of the problem.
Not too much information.
Yeah, so we only need just enough to redirect it to what is it you do want.
Okay.
So the second set of questions were around solution talk.
Yep.
And the lens was around what's working and how do you do more of that.
And I actually had the answers.
You did? I didn't give you any of the answers.
No.
Yeah.
It's quite a skill. It's a very good skill at it. That's why you do this stuff. Can I ask one specific question? I remember you said earlier that you can notice a physical effect with people. Did you notice it with me?
I
wasn't aware of it.
I did.
Oh, did you?
So
what did I do?
The problem questions.
Yes.
You sat back a bit. Your head went down. Your hands went down.
Wow.
You could see it physically. You're into the problem and it was like you were getting more stuck into the problem. And then the second set.
How amazing.
You sat up. You were animated with your hands. It was like you were in your fishing boat, thinking about the fishing. And, it's a total. You can see it physically
that
on people.
That is. I feel I've given away a bit too much, but you do notice that often.
You do notice.
Yeah, what an amazing thing.
Mm. So this is about helping people make progress, not keeping them stuck. That's what the questions do.
If someone wanted to know more about developing this solutions-focused approach, how would they go about it, Annette?
Well, we infuse most of our programs with some of the tools, but we're not deliberately focused on it in all these programs. Two of the programs, one, the Solution Focus Masterclass, which teaches the six Solution Focus tools, the five conversation expanders and the principles around solution focus. So whereas in our other programs we use the tools but we don't go into how they work,
okay.
The Solution Focus Masterclass is really about understanding what each tool is about, what are the questions you use around each tool, and how do you have these sorts of conversations. Our other program, Raising Performance, actually looks at solution focus through the topic of raising performance. So how do you have performance-style conversations in a solution-focused way?
You're very good. I'm not surprised at all that you're very good at this, but you are. And I feel like there's a fishing expedition coming on for me next week, thanks to you, Annette. Thank you so much indeed for a great conversation.
You're very welcome.
You've been listening to the Growth Coaching International podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. All the details of these coaching programs and much more are on our website, www.growthcoaching.com.au. And a footnote, I really did go fishing the next Thursday. This thing works.